Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, how are things going?
Going very well, Adam. I'm coming to you from St. Louis, doing a little coverage here. Games 3 and 4 in St. Louis with the Colorado Avalanche. So always a great to take a break from the playoffs and do the NHL Draft Class. And this week, Adam, we have a special guest. We've always loved to get Goran Stube, NHL Director of European Scouting, on, and we will have him in a bit.
Yeah, Finland royalty. That's how I like to refer to Goran Stube. He's the best. We're going to see Goran at the draft coming up in July, but before that, we've got the NHL Scouting Combine coming up. It's that draft season. You can feel it. It's in the air. We're going to be heading up to Buffalo May 30th to June 4th. We're going to see all the top prospects, all the NHL teams, all the scouts. Stay tuned to NHL.com for our full coverage. We'll also have one episode of NHL Draft Class while we're up there. So good times are coming. Good times are coming. But for now, as Mike said, let's bring in our guest today, Goran Stube, Director of NHL European Scouting. Goran, how are things going?
Thank you very well. Everything is perfect in Helsinki and in Finland. We have the World Championship tournament here, so a lot of hockey.
That's awesome to hear, Goran. Good to see you again. So as we know, Goran, Central Scouting is in the business of projecting. Can you compare Juraj Slafkovský's possible upside to other prospects you've scouted in the past? And why do you believe he is number one in the international ranks?
Well, this is a young man who is just turned 18, but his body is senior. He's a junior player in a senior body. He's just exceptional. He's big, and as a hockey player, he's fast, and he is extremely skilled. The funny thing with him is that he looks much better when he's playing for Slovakia in the Slovakian national team. As you know, he was the leading scorer at the Olympics as a 17-year-old, and he was nominated as the most valuable player of the tournament. Now, Slovakia is playing here in Helsinki, the World Championship. He's still going on. He has 7 points now so far in 6 games, and they have a very big game coming up tomorrow versus Canada. Winner will go to the medal round. His role in his club team, TPS Turku in the Finnish league, it's a little bit difficult for him because they are playing very disciplined defensive style of hockey. So he doesn't get as many points on the club team as he gets on the national team. But he's a exceptional player. Size, speed, talent, attitude. He is a fantastic forechecker. He's checking in the offensive end is unbelievable. He's fixing up scoring chances just because of his energy. A dynamic player.
Goran, along those lines, what separated Slafkovský and Joachim Kamel in the minds of you and your scouts when you were doing your final rankings? How tough was that decision? And what is it about Kamel that makes him such a special player?
Kamel had a sensational start of the season. He was the leading scorer, 17 years old, leading scorer in the Finnish league, which is one of the top professional leagues in Europe. Then he hurt his shoulder in end of October, and he was out for 5-6 weeks, tried to come back, did play 2 games in Edmonton at World Junior, but his shoulder was still not good. When he got back to Finland, he was back on the injury list and never started to play as he played in the beginning of the season until World Junior under 18, where he again was the leading scorer for Finland. He had a very, very good tournament in Germany and helped Finland to a bronze medal there. There are two different styles of players, actually, him and Slafkovský. Slafkovský is bigger, he's more mature. Kamel is more, shall we say, more of a finesse player, but he doesn't shy away from rough stuff either. He's very, very good in front of the net and can score goals. And I hope he will have a full good season next year, because this was a tough one for him with the shoulder injury.
Yeah, for sure. I know number six, Jonathan Lekkerimäki of Djurgården, was out of the lineup for a bit this season, Goran, due to mononucleosis. But what is it about the right-handed forward that enabled him to move three spots from number nine at the midterm to number six in the final ranks?
Well, Lekkerimäki, he played both on Djurgården in the Swedish league and on Djurgården in the junior league. I think he played more or less 25 or 26 games on both teams. And he had a tough season too, because Djurgården was struggling the whole time. But Lekkerimäki was still one of the leading forwards on the team. In the end, they were relegated from the Swedish league, so they are playing in the Swedish 2 league next year. He is an excellent skater. He has a nose for the net. He has very, very good offensive instincts and never stops skating. I love his drive when you see him play.
You have defensemen Simone Niemic and David Jiříček at numbers 4 and 5 in the final rankings. Each has a well-rounded game. They're both right shots. Is there one that maybe looks more NHL ready than the other at this point, either because of his skill set? I know Jiříček is a little bit bigger, his size, or both, or do you think both of these guys are kind of on that track to arrive at the NHL at the same time?
I think probably you have to consider here again that we had Jiříček. He got a bad knee injury at World Junior in Edmonton. He missed 2.5 months of the season, got back, and to everybody's surprise, he was nominated to play for the Czech national team, and he's playing here at the World Championship. He's bigger and perhaps more of a, let's say, professional style of a defenseman. Both are very explosive players, and Nemec is more of a playmaker and a passer. He is sometimes even overdoing his passing skills. Instead of shooting, he prefers to give the perfect pass. When again, the Czech guy, he likes to go, he likes to join the rush, and he likes to shoot. He likes to play offensive and tries to shoot as much as possible. And again, Nemec is, as I said, more of a playmaker and a passer. Both are extremely skillful players.
Yeah, that indeed. And both right-handed shots, which is hard to come by for talented prospects coming into the draft. So I know that's another thing.
And both are playing here at the World Championship, and that's pretty good for
yep, absolutely.
18 years old.
Yep, absolutely. Goran, what's your take on the top-tier prospects born and playing in Russia? It's kind of the elephant in the room right now. You know, number 7, Daniela Yurov, of Magnitogorsk of in the KHL, and number 11, Ivan Miroshchenko of Omsk. I know Miroshchenko has been out with Hodgkin's lymphoma, but where do you anticipate these players going in the draft, or do you maybe expect a waiting game with NHL clubs?
I'm afraid that it will be a waiting game, which is a pity. For instance, Daniela Yurov, he is a classical Russian forward or winger, extremely talented, extremely fast, excellent skater, kickable score, and he can pass, very good player. But the question is, what will the NHL clubs do with the Russians? Then we have again Miroshchenko. He got seriously ill during the season, and he was out for the end of the season, and it's doubtful when can he start playing again. He is expected to be back for next season, but nobody really knows what will happen with him. So right now, I think all the Russian players are big question marks.
So, Goran, speaking of question marks of a different kind, Brad Lambert is a guy who's had so much hype around him for a couple of seasons now, and he seems to be one of the more polarizing prospects. Either teams seem to really love him where they aren't sure what he's going to be at the next level. He's number 10 in the final international rankings. When you've seen Lambert, what stands out about him and where are the areas he needs to improve to get to where he wants to get to?
Well, I belong to those who love him as a player. There has been, I think, a little bit too much fuss around him, and he has been moved around. I don't know who is moving him around. He was with Pelicans in Lahti, then he was suddenly playing junior with IFK Helsinki, played some games in the Finnish league as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old. Then he moved to Jyväskylä. In the middle of the season, he moved back from Jyväskylä to his hometown, Lahti and Pelicans. So I think there's been a little bit too much fuss around him. And I think he would be in a better spot right now if he had stayed in his hometown before he left to first Helsinki and then Jyväskylä. He is another explosive player. He's a great skater. Seems to work very hard, very good attitude. He can shoot the puck. He doesn't have too many points in the Finnish league games this year. But then again, he proved himself in only two games at World Junior in Edmonton, one goal, four assists. So when he's playing in his own age group, he is outstanding.
Well, let's see if he gets a little more stability that'll help him moving forward. But one other guy I want to ask you about is Marco Kasper, who's playing a pretty significant role for Austria at the World Championship now after a really solid season in the Swedish Hockey League. How much can playing well at the Worlds maybe help him stand out a little bit more in the eyes of scouts? And how much of a determining factor could it be seeing him succeed in this kind of environment?
Marco Kasper is another of the five draft prospects who are playing in the World Championship tournament here in Finland right now. I've seen him in two games, and he is also only 18 years old, and he is doing fine playing senior hockey at this level. So I'm pretty sure that many NHL scouts or general managers who are in Finland right now really like what they have seen of him. He is outstanding on a pretty weak team.
So, Goran, just going to close it up here, and this has been great information as always. I'm always curious to ask you at the end here, are there two or three international prospects you feel aren't garnering maybe enough attention and have the potential to become solid NHL contributors with the proper development?
Well, let's say we have one Swedish player who was one of the leading players when Sweden won the under-18 World Championship title in Germany a month ago. His name is Liam Ögren. He is a teammate of Lekkerimäki, and he is an unbelievable scorer. He had 58 points in 30 games in the Swedish Junior League, and he was one of the leading players on the Swedish gold medal team. Another guy is who also played extremely well at World Junior under 18, was the captain for the Czech team, Jiří Kulič, leading scorer on the Czech team, and he was just outstanding in every game we saw him. And let's not forget the goaltenders. Sweden has a young goaltender who really improved during the season, Hugo Hevelid. His twin brother was also on the Swedish gold medal team in Germany. And this goalie, Hugo, he was the key player when his club team, Linköping, won the Swedish Junior Championship title. He was voted the best goaltender in the Swedish Junior League. He was the all-star goaltender at under 18 World Junior. And he has just had an unbelievable finish of the season. So there are three guys, I think, who can pop up on draft day.
Awesome information, Goran. Yeah, we can't forget our goalies, right? Adam and I always like to get a little goalie talk in there whenever we can. So thanks for bringing up the goalies there. Always want to get them involved. But you were always a pleasure to have on as a guest on NHL Draft Clash. Goran, your knowledge is vast, invaluable, and we look forward to seeing you at the NHL draft. Thank you for the work you and your staff do every season. Take care and safe travels, my friend.
Thank you very much.
A lot of great stuff there, Adam, from Goran Stube. Always a great guest. Happy to have him on to talk international prospects. And I guess the one thing that stood out to me, Adam, was, you know, when you look at guys that are going to go top 10 in this draft, one player I think that really hasn't been discussed maybe as often as he should, and he was a U18 world sensation, Jonathan Lekkerimaki, who obviously Goran thinks highly of. You know, he's ranked number 6 in the international side of things. So he led all U18 skaters in assists and points. He had 15 points, and those were second most by a Swede in U18 history, right behind William Nylander, who had 16 in 2014. And he had 4 points versus the U.S. in the gold medal game, Sweden victorious there. And he had 5 points in the quarterfinal round victory against Germany. So a lot to like about Lekkerimaki. He goes about 5'10", 165, is a little slight. When I watched video on him, players were able to push him around. He was bouncing off players a little bit. But I think strength is something that he obviously can build. He's going to mature as he stays, you know, playing internationally, possibly after being drafted. You know, his one-timer from the top of the left circle is outstanding. Real good shot, good release. I saw a play where he had the puck, noticed he was going to get hit. He took the hit, and the opposing player fell, and he made a pass to create a two-on-one on that rush. He has breakaway speed. He just needs to work on strength a little bit. As I said, he bounces off bigger players, no impact. Sometimes he's puck watching at, you know, every so often. Just knows to, maybe for me, just needs to show a little bit more urgency in what he's doing out there. But overall, I think Lekkerimaki is a top 10 choice for me in this draft. I like what I see in him. And, you know, obviously he did a lot of good things, you know, in the Swedish Hockey League. And from what Goran was telling us, you know, playing for Djurgården, a team that struggled this year, Lekkerimaki played really, really well. What did you like, Adam?
Well, the Brad Lambert talk, right? It feels like we've talked about Brad Lambert the same way we've talked about Shane Wright. Like 2 years out, we're talking about this guy and what he could do. Played for Finland, the World Juniors at 16, you know, at 17. There's all this hype surrounding him. And then this season, it hasn't quite been the same. I don't know if the expectations were too high. Goran talked about it. He's bouncing from team to team. He's playing against older, more developed players when maybe he wasn't ready for it. How much of the reputation is a little bit unfair just as far as what the expectations are for him? Maybe being in a more stable environment, staying with one team is maybe what he needs. So maybe coming over to North America, you know, he has Canadian roots. His father was born in Canada, so he can play either in the Canadian Hockey League. He'd be able to play in the American Hockey League. But getting in one place and staying in one place might be the answer to all of, you know, the issues that Lambert had, because he wasn't really able to establish himself with one team because he was always running here, going up a level, down a level to a tournament. He's a guy that, you know, a lot like Atu Ratti, right? Like we talked about Atu Ratti with all these expectations on him. And then, you know, we weren't sure what to expect. And he goes in the second round, and then what, his first game after he got drafted, he scored 4 goals, the summer showcase. And he had a really good year, a solid year playing in Liga. Maybe that's what Lambert needs. He needs to just be in one place, stay in one place, and wash the expectations fairly or unfairly away from him. Look, he's a talented player. You heard what Goran said about him. He's fast. He's skilled. The athleticism, the offensive instincts are all there. Much like Lekkerimaki, he does need to get bigger. He does need to get stronger to play at the next level. But the offensive talent, the offensive head for the game, the hockey IQ, it's all there. So now it's just a matter of being able to build on those skills that come with playing for a team and staying with a team and being in a solid situation. I think that's all Lambert's lacking.
Yes. Sometimes the solution is as simple as just staying and kind of, you know, just getting that chemistry and building that chemistry with teammates with one club. And, you know, I'm glad Goran brought that up. I mean, obviously it's a simple reasoning behind maybe why he struggled this year, but sometimes you forget those things. I mean, let's face it, right? These are 17, 18-year-old kids moving around. Right. I think in some ways too, Adam, didn't we want to see Lambert play in a playoff setting though, right?
We wanted to see him at World Junior. We wanted to see him in a prime role at World Juniors.
I get all that. But with a club team, he was with JYP. They weren't going to qualify for the playoffs. So when you hear word that he's going to Pelicans, his hometown club, he knows guys there already. So I think we were excited to see what was going to happen. And he did gain ice time. He had a few points. He played well here and there. Maybe there was a little bit inconsistency, but maybe that, as you were just alluding to, maybe that inconsistency was because he's moving here, there, and doing all those things. Yeah.
Right. And look, Warren mentioned the World Juniors. Had that tournament gone on the way he had continued the way he started, 5 points in two games, we're talking about him maybe taking Finland into the medal round. Then that whole changes the entire equation of maybe what we're talking about. Because listen, we did our lottery mock drafts. We talked about them on the last show. You can find them on NHL.com. Neither one of us had Lambert in that top 16. He goes to the World Juniors and he has, you know, you project out to have the tournament that he had. Maybe we are talking about him in that range. We never got to see it because of, you know, situations beyond his control, but maybe it's a different conversation at that point. So again, consistency to his game, consistency with one team, maybe that's all that's lacking. And as Goran said, when he plays with players his own age, you saw what kind of a player he is. You saw what kind of a player he could be. He has the opportunity to take, he has the ability to take over a game. He did it at the World Juniors. He has the ability, if he can do it there, he has the ability to do it with a club team in Liga. And as he gets older, more physically developed, the hope is he's going to have that ability at higher levels.
Two quick things, Adam, too. Didn't you see the excitement? Hey, look, Goran doesn't get excited too often. The excitement in his face when he started talking about Jurij Slafkovský, right? Mm-hmm. You saw it was like, this kid is going to be something special. He's, a junior player in a senior body. That's how he described Slafkovský. And he's, you know, it was a little bit of a slow start at the World Championships in Finland, but he's lighting it up now, right? You could see he's gaining that comfort level with the guys. And it seems to me, Adam, yeah, he's the youngest player on that team, but it seems like all the players are looking to him to maybe create offense. And you know darn well, Craig Ramsey, the coach of Slovakia, thinks highly of Slafkovský from what he has said in the past. But the one thing I wanted to ask you, which I thought was interesting when we spoke about Danila Yurov and Maris Shevchenko, the two Russian players, when Goran did say that this may be a waiting game. Did that surprise you at all?
Little bit, yes, because again, we're talking about global developments that are beyond the control of what we do with the NHL, right? Like, we don't know what the visa situation is going to be like. We don't know what the global environment is going to be like, you know, in Yurov's case, because, you know, he's a guy that if a team wanted to bring him over, they could. Now, Moroshenko, it's even harder because you're dealing with, you know, I hate to put it so cavalierly, but the Russia factor, but you're also dealing with a guy who is coming back from the unknown of cancer, right? And we talked about it on the last show and how I've seen Oscar Lindblom battle cancer, and you're wondering and you're waiting if he can get back to being the same player or if he will get back to being the same player that he was pre-diagnosis. And Moroshenko, I think NHL teams are asking the same question. Can he be the guy that he was or the guy that he projected to be before he got sick? So you wonder, you know, you're adding all these question marks and all these question marks on top of each other. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how teams approach it. And neither guy is going to be at the combine. So, you know, obviously it doesn't preclude teams from talking to them. I mean, you know, we live in a world where, you know, you and I are doing this over Zoom. So if we can do this, I'm sure NHL teams can talk to Yurov or Moroshenko or any other Russian prospect through video conference or whatever. They also have scouts over there that can interview them face to face. But it's a real question mark. And again, it's something that we really haven't ever dealt with, since the Iron Curtain in the late 80s, early 90s, and Alex McGillney is hiding in car trunks to get across the border, you know. We haven't dealt with this in a very long time. So yeah, there are some serious questions, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out as we get closer to the draft.
Yeah, Marichyshenko, just for fans out there that maybe aren't too familiar, he was diagnosed in March with Hodgkin's lymphoma, sat out the remainder of the season, and will miss time in 22-23 as well while getting extra treatment. And the kid was a consensus, right, Adam, a top 10 pick prior to the diagnosis. No question about it. He was, all we can do is just kind of look at past success. And he had plenty of it. He had plenty of past success, tied for sixth among skaters in goals at the 21 U18 Worlds. He had 6 and 7 games. He was tied for fourth among skaters in points at the 21 Hlinka Gretzky Cup, 9 points in 5 games. Physically strong. He goes about 6'1", 185, powerful on his skates, fast, mobile, a good shot. He gets away quickly, protects the puck well. You know, he wins battles using his strength. And Danila Yurov, the right wing, he played 21 KHL games this season and last season combined, was the second youngest to score a goal in the KHL playoffs behind Vitaly Kravtsov. He dominated the MHL this season, the minor league in Russia. 36 points in 23 games. A lot to like about Yurov. You know, he's healthy. He looks strong. But as you said, Adam, you just wonder how teams are going to play this. And is it going to be almost like a game of chicken, right? And I know you've stressed this before. We both stressed it. Teams with multiple picks in the first round might take a shot.
Absolutely. You know, I thought I had Yurov at number 10 in my lottery mock. I don't believe you had him in yours.
I did
not. But I think your point holds that, you know, if you have a question and you have multiple swings at the bat, you have the luxury of taking a swing if you have that opportunity. You know, you look at a team like Buffalo, and I'll just use them as an example, because they have two picks in the top 16. They can take the guy they really want at 9, and then, you know, if Yurov or Marochnichenko are sitting there and they really feel strongly like they have a real high upside, you take the chance, because you've already, you assume the guy you took at 9 is your guy. That's the guy you really like. That's the guy you're really counting on. And then if the second pick works out, that's great. And if it doesn't, that's the cost of doing business. But you got at least one guy out of it. If you're a team like, you know, and again, I had Marochnichenko going, Yurov going number 10. Anaheim's only pick. Actually, bad example. They have Boston's pick, but that's their only lottery pick. Do they take that swing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to find out. And that's just, you know, part of the intrigue and part of the guessing game that is the draft. You really have to be sure that, and I guess what works in NHL team's favor is neither guy is ready to jump right into an NHL lineup in 22-23, right? I don't know what their contract status is, even if it would allow it. But neither guy is NHL ready at this point. We're talking 2 years down the line, minimum, for both guys, right? So we all know how much can change in those 2 years.
Yep.
So, you know, it is. It's a gamble. It's a, you know, you got to determine if his upside is worth the risk that goes into drafting him, where that risk doesn't exist when you're drafting a guy, say, from the CHL, from the U.S. national team program, from a U.S. college.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be interesting. We'll see how that draft goes. And, you know, you can check the mock draft show, mock draft 1.0. We had that a couple weeks ago here on NHL Draft Class. We had Greg Rajnan discussing the USHL prospects last week as well. John Williams was on for the WHL talking prospects there. So a lot of previous episodes, listen to them and get up to date on all the top prospects there. But Adam, I'm telling you, I know we usually go head to head, we battle real hard with our mock drafts. Who's you know, selecting the most players, who gets the players in the right positions. But I'm telling you right now, in case you missed it, at the beginning of May, the league launched Stanley Cupple, the NHL's version of Wordle. Users, I keep playing this every day. I'm so hooked, Adam. Users are given 7 tries to guess an active NHL player, excluding goalies. After each player guess, the player's 21-22 NHL regular season stats show up in a tile and will change colors based on how close or correct you are. So if you haven't already done so, give it a shot at stanleycupple.nhl.com. Adam and I promise you will be hooked. What do you think, Adam?
I do. I enjoy it. I go and I play, and it's fun just to check in, and it's almost like testing your own knowledge level, right? What do I remember from the season that happened? Because it's all based on regular season stats. So it's like, all right, well, this guy scored 30 goals. This guy scored less than 30 goals, and he plays for a team in this division. all right, let's, you know, rack through players in my brain. And it really forces you to think. I enjoy it. You know, it's something that's fun. It's something, you know, keeps your hockey knowledge sharp, keeps you sharp. That's the biggest thing. The NHL Stanley Cup is presented by Upper Deck. UpperDeckEPAC.com lets you buy, open, and collect your favorite hockey cards from anywhere at any time. Get a free pack just for logging on. Visit UpperDeckEPAC.com today. And after you do that, you can follow us on NHL.com. You can also listen to NHL Draft Class wherever you find your podcast. And Mike, next step for us is Buffalo.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Until then, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.